The 3D version of James Cameron's 1997 movie Titanic has pulled in $44 million since its release nearly 2 weeks ago. And it's bringing back memories for Titanic history buff Edward Kamuda. He runs the Titanic Historical Society out of the back of a stationery store in a quiet neighborhood in Springfield, Massachusetts. His interest was sparked decades ago when, as a boy, he read a short story called A Great Ship Goes Down.
It just seemed to grow on me. I wanted to do more research on it.
Then Edward Kamuda saw the 1952 film Titanic at the movie theater his family ran. And 2 years later, his father booked the movie A Night to Remember.
What did you see?
Iceberg, get ahead, sir!
The teenaged Edward Kamuda got his hands on a press packet for that film and told Here and Now's Lynn Menegon how what was inside that folder changed his life and ended up preserving some history.
Inside the folder were about 85 names and addresses of survivors that were still alive. It was done in the hopes that if you're a theater manager and there was one person living nearby who was a survivor, you might invite them as your guest. And of course, you'd notify the press and you get a lot of publicity. I spent the rest of the summer writing to them and trying to find out how they came to be on the ship, how they got off the ship, and what's happened to them after that. And just about all of them replied to me. And so everybody from Frederick Fleet, who sighted the iceberg, to third-class passengers, all responded, and it was quite thrilling.
How remarkable. How old were you at the time?
I was about 14 years old at the time, and we started the society in 1963 when I saw a picture of a survivor in the New York Times, and I wrote him a letter. And because he had no immediate family, all of his materials were thrown on the city dump. And I was aghast at that. I said, my gosh, they're throwing away history. And so in my next letter to the survivors, I said, we're going to form an organization that's going to preserve all of this.
Do you have any of those original letters from, say, the man who saw the iceberg, Frederick Fleet?
Yes, I still have them. In fact, he sent me a sketch at my request of what the iceberg first looked like and then how it towered above the ship. And I remember one Christmas I didn't get a card from him, and I wondered what's wrong. And someone called me up, and they said, I'm in New York. Did you see the New York Times today? And I said, no, I didn't. He said, poor old Fred is dead. I said, oh, my gosh, you're kidding. He said, no. And I said, what did he die of? And he said, he hung himself. So I went down to our post office box here and opened up the door, and there was only one letter there. And I recognized the handwriting. And it was from Fred Fleet. And he said, please don't write to me anymore until I get a new address. He says, my wife has passed away, and we were living with my brother-in-law, and the two of us do not get along. And so basically his brother-in-law threw him out. And so he said, as soon as I find a place to live agreeable to my meager pension, I will let you know. Apparently he couldn't find anything, and he ended his life. And the press, of course, put this off as the tragedy of the Titanic was on his mind so much that it drove him to die. No, it did not. No, Fred lived on and hardly spoke of the Titanic unless somebody come up and ask him about it, or in my case, wrote a letter to him.
Well, it sounds like not a lot of people wrote to these survivors, mm-hmm. and you brought something out in them that maybe, you know, would have been lost to history.
That's quite true. A lot of them kept it very quiet. They didn't want to talk about it. It was a horrible, horrible experience. I remember Frank Goldsmith, who was 7 or 8 years old at the time, and he corresponded with me in his later years, and he said every time he'd go to a ball game and somebody would hit a home run, he said that roar from the crowd reminded him so vividly of that night and the people screaming in the water, and it was very hard for him to take.
What other things did you learn from just corresponding with survivors?
I've got letters from Gershom Cohen. They call him Gus the Cat. And Gus certainly had 9 lives. But in this case, he was coming to America. He was a 17-year-old teenager to find work because things were bad in England. And he booked passage on the Adriatic. But he was transferred to the Titanic in third class. And he had just gotten a new pair of gloves from his mother just before he left. And the night that they hit the iceberg, he got out on deck and most of the boats were gone. And he saw this one that was being lowered. So he said, I did something I would never do. And he crawled out on the davits that were letting the boats down. And he slid down the ropes. And he says, thank God for the gloves. Otherwise, my skin would have been really torn apart going down those ropes. And he got into a lifeboat and he was saved. And he went back to England and to fight during the war. And he was on sentry duty one night, and he was shot through the head by the enemy. And he lost the sight of his left eye, but he says, I survived. And years later, he went off the wrong end of a train and hit his head on the rails below, and he survived that. He opened up a haberdashery shop in London, and one customer was so grateful at the deal he got from him. He said, I'm going to treat you to lunch, Gus. And Gus never passed up a free lunch. So he locked his shop. They were walking down the street, and then he heard a familiar sound of a buzz bomb coming overhead. Guess whose store was blown to bits? Gus Cohen, and the cat lived on.
No way. He really was a cat with nine lives.
He was, yes. He died of old age. So he's one of my favorite survivors.
You know, I was struck by something I saw when I came in the room. There's an original newspaper framed from 1912. Could I ask you to read the headline?
Well, the headline says, Titanic passengers all saved. And the subheadline says, iceberg did not sink the giant liner. There was a ship that was being towed to Halifax. And this ship that was doing the towing radioed to the other ships, are all Titanic passengers saved? Well, the reporter heard this, and then he took it to mean that Titanic passengers were saved. And I guess he didn't listen to the whole message, and so that's how that came about.
There you go. Come on.
No, Jack, I couldn't possibly, Jack.
Watch closely.
That's disgusting.
Now, I understand you were a consultant to the James Cameron movie from a few years back.
And as a thank you, he invited us to come down and have a cameo in the movie.
Describe what the scene was.
It's just after Jack teaches Rose how to spit like a man. And they meet up with Molly Brown, and she invites him to her cabin to get him some proper clothes to wear for the big dinner, and we come walking by.
Son, do you have the slightest comprehension what you're doing?
Not really.
Well, you're about to go into the snake pit.
We did this scene 8 times because Kathy Bates kept on cracking jokes and breaking everybody up. It was quite thrilling, having worked in my father's movie theater till age 16 for so many years, and now here I was on the big screen.
Kind of comes full circle.
Yes, it finally did, yes.